And actually, we have to understand
that there's no such thing as new religion. For religion is old as God is himself. One actually has to understand what is religion. And the Vedic religions give us this understanding. The Vedic religions date back many thousands of years. In fact, the Bhagavad Gita that we refer to was compiled 5,000 years ago. As well as the Sivan Bhagavatam that we refer to. These scriptures were compiled by the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Vyasadeva. We have only referred to a couple of these literatures. But actually the word Veda means all knowledge. The teachings of the Vedas comprise teachings about all aspects of life. And in the Bhagavad Gita it is explained that just as a small pond, just as all the purposes of a small pond can be served by great reservoirs of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served by one who knows the purpose behind them. The purposes of the Vedas are to help us come to the understanding of our relationship with the Supreme. But they are a very vast body of knowledge, which help us to understand all aspects of life, how to live within this world, to fulfill the necessities of life, how to live in social harmony, as well as the cultivation of one's spiritual values of life, which brings us to the understanding of our relationship with the Supreme Being. So all aspects of life are there. And therefore, according to the teachings of the Vedas, many purposes can be fulfilled. It is according to one's particular position in life. That one applies the teachings of the Vedas. For instance, if a person is diseased, he will not enter into the pharmacy and take any medication thinking it will cure his disease. First there is a diagnosis by the physician. And the physician can understand the severity of the disease. And he can prescribe a particular type of medication according to the severity of the disease. Therefore, many purposes are served in the Vedas. Because the diseased condition of life is our forgetfulness of our relationship with God. That is considered to be a diseased condition. Because actually, every living being has an eternal relationship with the Supreme. But having come in contact with this material world, we are identifying with the material, temporary material body. And we identify with the various designations of this body. As well as the extensions of this body. Such as family, friends, and society. Just as pure rainwater falls from the sky. But when it lands upon the earth, it becomes muddy. Although it is pure water, it acquires the qualities of the earth when it comes in contact with it. In the same way, the eternal living entity, who is constitutionally pure, when he comes in contact with this temporary physical world, he identifies with this temporary world, thinking it to be his actual identity. And therefore he thinks in terms of the body. And his consciousness becomes covered. The pure consciousness of every living being is to be always situated in remembrance of the Supreme. But on our conditioned state, we are conscious of so many other things. So the Vedic literatures, they prescribe different types of treatment. To help restore the pure consciousness of every living being to its original state. There may be some gradual methods. And there may be some other methods which are not as gradual. Which can help to quickly restore this natural consciousness. So when we began this presentation, we were discussing the principle about religion. And how this Krishna consciousness movement is not introducing something new. And therefore we must understand what is the actual goal of all religions. Religion cannot exist without God. That is an obvious statement. Because man cannot manufacture a system of religion. If he manufactures it, it's not religion. Because the principles of religion must come from God Himself. Just like if you're sitting at home in your flat, and you discuss with your family members, let's create a law. So you can sit in your flat and you can come up with this kind of an idea. Let's create a law. But the laws of the state, they are the laws of the government. And it's not that we can sit at home and manufacture a law. And then expect to apply it. In the same way, the principles of religion cannot be manufactured by a man. Because the principles of religion are coming from God Himself. Therefore, the goal of religion is to understand who is God. What is our relationship with Him? And how do we act according to that relationship? So, any system, genuine system of religion will teach us that the goal of all religious traditions is to develop love for God. Just as Lord Jesus Christ taught us that one should learn to love God with all thy heart, all thy might, all thy soul. These were his essential teachings. Now details may vary according to time, place and circumstance. But the principles must always remain the same. The teachings of the Bhagavad Gita are founded on these principles, which are the essential principles of any religious tradition. For, as we said, religion means to know who is God. And there can only be one God. He may have many names. And he may have many relationships. But we have to understand that there is only one Supreme Being. Who is the original source, creator, and maintainer of everything that within existence. Just as there is one sun in the sky, and the sun may be above our heads in one city, we may be standing in Moscow, looking at the sun above our heads. And maybe speaking to someone on the telephone who's standing in Vladivostok. And the sun is above his head. So, it's the same sun. It's not that there is a Moscow sun and a Vladivostok sun. One should not impose upon the sun such a designation. According to his own relative position. We should not think that because I am standing in Moscow, therefore it is a Moscow sun. In the same way, there are not different gods. When we speak of the word Krishna, we are not speaking about a Hindu god. It's not that Krishna is simply the god of the Hindus. Because we're speaking about the Supreme Being. And it's not that there is a Hindu God, and the Christians have a Christian God, and in Islam they have their Islamic God. There is only one God. He has unlimited names. And it's not that he simply becomes the God of a few chosen people. Yeah. Oh, I'll be the god of the Hindus. Because God is the seed-giving father of all living beings. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So it's not that he becomes the god of a selected group of people. It's not that a group of people will get together and they'll all agree upon who's God. And then by a common agreement, they will place him into his position. He is our God. He's not your God. He's our God. So God is not like some political leader who has to get voted into office. And is afraid that if he doesn't support his supporters, he may lose his position. That's not God. There's only one, as we said, there's only one God. And what distinguishes God from all other beings is that God is always God. He always was, he is now, and he always will be. He doesn't become God. So when we're speaking about God, we're speaking about this Supreme Person, who is the primeval original personality, who has always existed. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells his disciple Arjuna, Never was there a time when I did not exist. Never in the future will I ever cease to be. He's eternally existing. Therefore, religion must be as old as God is himself. How can one manufacture, or how can one speak of a new religion? What is the meaning to new religion? There can be no actual, if it's actually religion, there can be no new meaning. There can be no meaning to new religion. So the basic teachings of the Bhagavad Gita are to help us to understand how to develop our love for the Supreme Being. And as we explained, that is the essential teaching of all religious traditions. Because every living being by nature wants to love someone. It is our constitutional nature. We are looking for someone to serve, to satisfy, and to help ourselves feel complete. It is very natural to want to serve somebody and to have a relationship with someone, so that we can feel more complete. It is very natural for every living being to hanker for this type of relationship. Because the completeness of every living being
is established when he understands his complete relationship with the Supreme. Just as the hand is complete when it's connected to the body. But if it's not connected to the body, what is the function of the hand? It has no complete function. It has no complete purpose for existence. What makes it complete is when it serves the needs of the body. And when the hand recognizes its relationship to the rest of the body, then all of the needs of the hand can be satisfied. If the hand tries to take food for itself, thinking, and if he's thinking, I am self-sufficient, I don't need to share with anybody else. Let me take this food for myself. Well, the hand may make this endeavor for some time. But the hand's self-interest is not fulfilled. By taking the food for itself. His self-interest is fulfilled by recognizing the stomach. And when it assists the stomach by providing the food that the stomach needs for its nourishment, the hand's own self-interest is automatically fulfilled. So in this temporary material world, the eternal living being is feeling incomplete. But he's trying to find his completeness in that which is temporary. Therefore, he remains to feel incomplete. Just like the example our spiritual master would give. That if you take the fish out of the water and place him upon the land, you may provide all kinds of comforts for this fish. You may look at him lying upon the hot sand. And feeling compassion for the fish, you may offer him a mattress to lie on. Or you may give him something to drink. Or maybe you're thinking he's bored and you'll give him some entertainment to look at. But actually, the fish's natural state of existence is to be in the water. And whatever you try to provide him on the land will not satisfy the needs of the fish. In the same way, the living entity, the living being, is eternal. He's looking for complete happiness. But due to contact with this material nature, he's trying to find complete happiness in that which is temporary. Therefore, he maintains these feelings of incompleteness. He tries to find security by surrounding himself with possessions, friends and family members. But there is no security for the eternal soul. In this temporary material world. Just like the example is given, that the relationships that we have in this life, they are also temporary. They are meaningful, but nonetheless they are still temporary. Because the relationships are on the spiritual platform. It is very natural to feel affection for friends, family, and society members. But this natural affection is towards the soul within the body. And when we try to establish these relationships, simply on the basis of the body and the bodily pleasures, that eternal living being cannot become fully satisfied in his desire for a complete relationship. The example that is given in the Vedic literatures is that your relationships of this in this temporary world, they are compared to like clusters of straw. That in the river, sometimes there's the flowing of the river and the straws collect along the banks of the river. And they come together for some time. But by the continuous movement of the river, these clusters of straw will be broken up. And will be carried further downstream. And eventually they may get caught in another cluster. So these different clusters of straw, they are like the associates that we have in this lifetime. We come together for one brief span of life. Struggling with material nature, striving for a secure position in this world. But time has a way of removing us from this position. So, if we want to find completeness, we must go beyond this temporary world. Just as the fish must be placed back into water, which is natural environment. The living being must also establish his connection with God. And that helps, that is what makes him feel complete. And when one establishes this connection, and not only does it complete his relationship with the Supreme, but it also helps also helps to complete his relationship with all other living beings. Because then we see all living entities as spiritual sparks. We see them as eternal souls, servants of the Supreme Being. And actually this type of vision enables one to establish the true principles of harmony and peace. Instead of living in so many divisions, and conflict based on designations of the body. This is the cause of so much conflict in this world that we can't see the soul. We make temporary connections with those who surround us. And try to build our security based on these designations. These designations are temporal. And therefore one must understand how to transcend temporary designations. So that we can see the true equality of every living being. Everyone is looking for equality. Because there's always people who are feeling oppressed. There is always a group of people who are feeling that actually my needs are not being fulfilled as well as others' needs are being fulfilled. And therefore we see in this world there is so much inequality. There are the haves and the have-nots. Some people have it better than we do. Some have and have not. That's not. It's an English expression, but I guess it's not translatable. Somebody has something, and others don't have. And therefore they want it. So this inequality is based upon the bodily platform. And therefore some people are thinking that the majority of people are according to my designation. Therefore better I see to their needs. Therefore making distinctions. This is only the tip of the iceberg. There is so much conflict because of these designations. Fighting between cultures. Fighting between national boundaries. Fighting between individuals. Even fighting in the name of religion. And that we see this is also another designation. Because as we said, religion is eternal. And therefore to understand real religion means also to go beyond these types of designations, which thinks one group of people to be superior than others. The only platform of equality is the platform of spiritual equality. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna teaches this position of spiritual equality. In one verse, he describes, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Sunichai Vasvapakicha Pandita Samadarshana. The humble sage, he sees with equal vision. A gentle and learned priest. An elephant. A cow. A dog. And even a dog eater. He sees them all with equal vision. Because he doesn't see the covering. He doesn't fight over these external designations. He sees them equally because he sees them as spiritual beings. Servants of God. Such a person who has spiritual vision does not discriminate between one living being and another. It's not that I look at my family members and I simply cater to their needs. But then I look at a cow and I cut its throat. He understands that actually all living beings are sons of God. And therefore he sees with this equal vision. So this is the spiritual vision of somebody who understands God. This is what is essential to understand who is the Supreme Being. And then when we understand who God is, we can understand our relationship with everyone else. Actually, this word is called self-realization. We also understand who we are. Just like when one looks at the, when one sees the sun rise in the morning, by his observation of the rising of the sun, he can also see his own reflection in the mirror. He can see himself. In the same way, when one understands who is God, then he understands who he is. And he can understand who everyone else is. This is the true equality of the living being. That we are all servants of God. This is an eternal religious principle. Because serve is something we must always do. In Sanskrit, it is the word that is used is dharma. Dharma means that which sustains one's existence. For instance, the dharma of fire is heat and light. If you take the qualities of heat and light away from fire, then how can it be recognized as being fire? It's the very qualities of fire that make it fire. So it is that which sustains the existence of fire. The dharma of water is liquidity. So in the same way, the dharma of every living being is to serve. We must serve someone. But in contact with this material world, we become subservient to many temporary illusory masters. So, eternal religious principles. These are called in Sanskrit Sanatana Dhamma. Sanatan means eternal. And the Sanatana Dhamma of every living being is that we are eternal servants of the Supreme. That is our actual identity. We are always meant to serve the Supreme. And because we are eternal, and the Supreme is eternal, when the living being reconnects himself to his eternal relationship with the Supreme, in service, this is Sanatana Dhamma. This is the goal of religion. So, the Krishna consciousness movement is basing its teachings on these teachings from the Vedas. They are eternal truths. And therefore they apply to all time. Although Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago, the message of Bhagavad Gita applies today just as well. And will apply 5 million years from now. And will continue to apply 5 million years from now. This is the nature of the absolute truth. They are eternal. And they are always applicable. The details may differ according to time, place, circumstance. There may be different details. There may be different rituals performed. But the principles are always the same. One who actually sees these principles of religion and understands the ultimate goal, then he can embrace all religious traditions. Because if one takes any religious tradition and enters into its most essential teachings, these principles must be the same. This is the actual message of the Bhagavad Gita. It is not a sectarian message. It is not meant to create conflict amongst people. It is meant to break barriers, which are the causes of these conflicts. Because as long as these barriers are maintained, and as long as we maintain attachment to such temporary designations, we will continue to live in a world of conflict. And it will only get worse. As it is explained in the Vedic literatures, that the present age is the age of quarrel. There is great hypocrisy and strife. And people are very much disturbed. So much so that a little provocation will create fighting between people.
Самая маленькая провокация может создать огромный шум.
That is the symptom of the present age of Kali. It's the age of quarrel and the age of hypocrisy. That so many people will present so many teachings, but their lifestyle will be completely contrary to their preaching. This is another cause for conflict. So, because of the symptoms of the present age, understanding all of its defects, the Lord appears to re-establish these principles of religion according to the time, the place, and the circumstance. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, yada yada hi dharmasya ghanya bhavati bharata, that whenever there is a predominant rise of irreligious practices, and therefore it is recommended in this age, that if one wants to develop his love for the Supreme, then he must simply chant the names of God. If one does not have a particular name, then we can recommend that you chant Krishna. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a prayer. And essentially what it means is, O Lord, please engage me in your service. Sometimes we think of prayer as an opportunity to make a request. But actually, this is not the goal of religion. To make God our servant. Please give me what I want. Just like there is one very famous song from many years ago. She was a very famous rock and roll musician. And she was known for her song, Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Very famous song. So, this is not the meaning of prayer. My friends all drive Porsches and I must make amends. So, the purpose of prayer is to glorify. And therefore, in the chanting of the Hare Krishna prayer, one is simply glorifying the Supreme. He's not approaching him, please become my order supplier. Instead, he's simply asking. I'm only asking from you is that you please give me the opportunity to serve you. That is a very pure prayer. And although that purity may not be there within our hearts, if one continuously chants this prayer, the heart becomes cleansed. Because God's name is there. Even the most impure heart can become cleansed. Just as the sun can purify a very impure place by its ultraviolet rays. The sun does not become contaminated. In the same way, the Supreme Being can act from within the heart and cleanse the heart from all these desires for enjoyment independent from Him. So this is a process which is recommended for this age. It helps us to become free from these designations. Because our actual eternal spiritual identity is that we are servants of God. And therefore we pray in this way. Please engage me in yourself. So, this method of sacrifice helps to bring one to this platform of life. Therefore, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the message of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is simply not something new. We should not look at the external and think, oh, we have not seen it before. Therefore, it is new. Our spiritual master gives the example that this such a mentality is called in Sanskrit Atmavan Manyate Jagat. What this means is that if I am wearing blue tinted glasses, then the whole world is blue. It's my glasses. They're tinted blue. So I should not say the whole world is blue, because I happen to be looking through these glasses. In the same way, we should not project our limited consciousness our limited knowledge, incomplete understanding, to draw such false conclusions. That the Krishna Consciousness Movement is introducing something new. Therefore, we humbly recommend that everyone who is here, if you have not already read the Bhagavad Gita, that we humbly recommend that you simply take a copy with you this evening. I hope that it's out here. And see for yourself. You'll see that this message is not new. For it's as old as the Supreme Being. And therefore we humbly request that you spend some time just making a little research and see for yourself. What can I say in 1.5 hours about eternal religious principles? I can only scratch the surface. There is so much to understand. And the teachings of the Vedas are a wealth of understanding. This is our humble request. Is that you take this opportunity to make this little investigation for yourself. And if you like, we also humbly request that you try chanting Hare Krishna. It is very simple. It is very satisfying. And it helps us to bring our consciousness to this higher standard of consciousness, which will enable us to transcend these sectarian boundaries. It will help us to establish the true principles of universal brotherhood. By seeing every living being with equal vision. So I'd like to thank you all for your kind attention. And I hope that you'll forgive any shortcomings in this presentation. Sometimes when we speak in short segments, it's not as easy as hearing it in a continuous flow. But we'll simply try to present this message in a way that is understandable. Our spiritual master once gave the example that if the house is burning down, then no matter what language you speak, you'll be able to communicate to others that there's fire in the house. You will be able to communicate to others in the house that there is a fire. So, we are trying to communicate this message. This world is temporary. And it will not, and our existence in this world will not endure. Our existence in this world will not endure, will not last. Therefore, we are humbly recommending, in whatever language we are presenting it in, that the house is burning down. Let's get out of the fire. Thank you. Thank you, and Hare Krishna. So, anybody would like to ask any questions? I'll try to answer. From the audience first.
Скажите, пожалуйста, о вашем духовном имени.
My name was given to me by Srila Prabhupada about 19 years ago when he initiated me as a disciple. It is found in the prayers of Lord Brahma. It is a name for Krishna. This name that one gets is always a name of Krishna or Krishna's devotee. And das, or servant, comes afterward. To help us, do we remember that we are servants of Krishna? The word Niranjana means never contaminated by material qualities. Which is a name for Krishna. Krishna never becomes contaminated by anything material. Just as we gave the example, the sun doesn't become contaminated by purifying even the most impure place. Material qualities cannot cover Krishna. Just like also the example is given of the sun. That the sun creates the clouds. But it's not that the sun is covered by the clouds. Our vision of the sun is covered by the clouds. But if we go just a little distance above in the sky, we'll see that there's no clouds covering the sun. So Krishna creates this material nature. But he never becomes covered by this material nature. Therefore he is Niranjana. And I am his servant.
Существует ли расы гнева, ненависти, чего-то подобного?
Difference between anger on the spiritual platform.
Разница гнева.
Do you know what the word? Do you know the word malice? Webs. Melis. Melis means... Malice means you want to cause harm to somebody. Alright, I'll these anger and envy exist on the spiritual platform. But on the spiritual platform, one never thinks of causing harm to the object of his anger or envy. It's a different type of anger. Just like it is described as some of the intimate associates of the Lord. Sometimes they have feelings of envy. That they have a position with Krishna better than I do. But in that feeling, they try to push themselves push themselves forward more to serve Krishna. Without ever thinking of themselves to be the ill wisher of their object of envy. Ill wisher. Without ever thinking themselves to be the ill wisher of the objects of their envy. But on the material platform, when we are envious of someone, or when we are angry towards somebody, there are those feelings of causing harm. When we're envious of somebody, it's because they have something that we don't have. And maybe we want it. But maybe we can't have it. So we don't want to see them have it. So they won't be in a better situation than I am. In other words, there is wanting to cause misfortune upon others. That is the nature of material envy. And therefore, when someone is envious, he tries to push himself forward by pushing everyone else down. That is material envy. That is the perverted reflection of these characteristics that exist on the spiritual platform. Perverted because they cause harm to others. And this is not proper. So it is because everything here in this temporary world is a perverted reflection of what exists in the spiritual world. Those are the perverted manifestations of anger and envy.
Как удержать, о чем думать должен? Нефит о чтении Махамантры. Очень трудно удержать мысли на служении Богу.
So what should we think about when chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, think. You must simply hear. And he emphasized always. He always emphasized this point. That most important when one is chanting, that he is hearing. Because hearing is the most powerful sense. Hearing can save a person from danger. Before we can even see God, we have to become qualified to see God by hearing. Because, and the example that is given, that if a person is sleeping and is in a dangerous situation, if you write a sign and you write down on a piece of paper somebody's about to kill you, and you hold it in front of his eyes, he's not going to see it. But if you yell out, quick, get up, somebody's about to kill you, your hearing can save you. So we have to hear before we can see. Because by hearing we can become situated in knowledge. Just like there's another example. That if you want to purchase a diamond ring, then before you spend all of your hard-earned money for a diamond, you should hear from someone who's authorized how to recognize a genuine diamond. Otherwise, you could spend all of your hard-earned money for a piece of broken glass. So, in the same way, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, the process of cleansing and purification comes through hearing. And as far as the thinking process goes, the only thing we have to think about is how am I going to hear this holy name? That's what we should think about. And then, but more we concentrate and try to hear, the mind becomes controlled. Because the mind is a reservoir for all ideas for sense gratification. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if one who has failed to control his mind, it's his worst enemy. But if he controls it, it's his best friend. So we have to use our mind as our best friend. And to not let the mind drag us from one place to another. In the vain pursuit of finding happiness, so we do not have to think as much as we have to hear. Thinking must also be done. Certainly we're not suggesting that we become robots and stop thinking. But real thinking means to think of God. And to remember Him always. This is what our mind must be filled with constantly. But to think about God and to think about service to God, it is none different. When one thinks about one's service to the Supreme, it's as good as thinking about the Supreme. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are also serving the Supreme. Because this is what the method of which he is very pleased in this age. So that should be the thought, extent of our thoughts. And the more we continuously hear, the more the heart, the mind, the intelligence, the senses will all become purified. So maybe we should end here. And we can chat for a brief period of time if you'd like to chat with us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.